shucking jive.
All you racing fans,
Speedway Report stand is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio
heads.
Network for Racers Union Radio. A pair of NASCAR home track tours wrap
Welcome
up their
to the
season
Goat Rodeo.
And crown champions, while two NASCAR tours now become one, and that triggers a closer examination at short track racing by me. Well, we've got all this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, October the 17th, 2016. From the shores of Lake Norman and Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilbert is with us. We were off last week while he was regrouped from Hurricane Matthew, which hit Myrtle Beach area pretty hard. How are you doing tonight, Daddy Jay?
I'm doing all right, Patrick. Hanging in there, man. Tickle the best to be here.
Well, it's good to hear from you again. Everything good down at the beach? Everything working okay? You cleaned up branches, the leaves, the sand, the surf, all back where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's all back where it's supposed to be. I got gremlins in the studio tonight. That's what I get for being away. Maybe it's just rust. I don't know what it is, but I apologize for that. No, it's good to be back, man. I went down to the Grand Canyon, flew out to Los Angeles and met up with some friends, drove over to the Grand Canyon, went on a 3-day hike, actually 2 days, down one day and back the next. Man, just had a great time. Awesome, awesome views. Phenomenal workout. I'm sore from head to toe, but really had a good time.
So it takes a hurricane to boot you out of town and make you get some exercise.
Yeah, we kind of had this thing planned for some time, actually for a year. You got to make the reservations to stay there a year in advance. And but I wasn't really sure I was going to get to go right up until the last minute. So,
We got. Well, it's good to have you back with us.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. The pictures on Facebook of your trip out west look outstanding. Love them. Glad to see you leave the surf and the sand that came crashing through Myrtle Beach and get to someplace absolutely the other end of the gorgeous scale. And you come back to the beach, everything good? Everything good to go? Cleaned up? Nice? Sharp?
I couldn't tell you. I got in at 1 in the morning and got up and came straight here. So I'll figure that out over the next few days.
That's dedication. I like having you guys on my staff. People like you. That's good to hear.
Yeah, man.
out west, fly in 1 a.m. into work, and here we are at 7:30 Eastern time in the evening, and you're producing our show. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Daddy J. Jeff Gilder with us in the North Myrtle Beach studios. We explain a little bit further to you the amount of work that he's doing. Speedway Report continues to grow as we're offering a TV simulcast of the radio show. If you are listening to Racers Reunion Radio, welcome to all of you, our standby broadcast platform. And if you would like to watch the TV program, I've got two cameras going at once here. That's why if you're watching my head, zigzag back and forth here. If you would like to watch the TV program, go to speedwayreport.com. Up top is a TV button that's across the top ribbon. Just click that, and that'll take you to this view that I'm pointing at right here, right straight ahead of me. And we are also streaming on Facebook Live. It's to my left, you folks over here. Head on over to our show page on Facebook, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. And hi, we are live over here as well. Not only that, but we've got folks on the racersreunion.com chat rooms that are joining us on the drag racing site. Barb and Bill Pratt are over there. Daddy J, Jeff Gilder, as always, John Bachman and Thomas Warren on our drag racing site. Hello, everyone there. Then over here on the stock car site of Racers Reunion Radio, Danny and Dennis are with us. JG and I are doing double duty. We're in both rooms. Larry is with us along with Jerry Smith and the legend, Tim Leeming. Always a good night when the legend can join us on Mondays here at Racers Reunion Radio. Good to see you, legend, but I'm busy with the show. I don't have time to tease you tonight, so feel free to take all the shots you want. My arms are down. I have no way to defend myself. We welcome everyone to the fastest half hour in racing tonight on SpeedwayReport.com TV with Facebook Live and Racers Reunion Radio. By the way, if you are on our Facebook page checking out Speedway Report, It's the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds is the name of it. We'd appreciate it if you would kindly give us a like, a little click there on the mouse. Give the page a like. And also on social media, if we're doing gratuitous plugs, you can find me on Twitter. I am at Speedway Pat. Let's bop on over, take the green flag of our victory lane lap. Or is that the checkered flag? Anyway, we're going to tell you who won what over this busy autumn weekend. The Sprint Cup cars raced in the Heartland, Kansas, yesterday. Kevin Harvick won, and he advances himself into the round of eight as Talladega looms this week. Jimmy Johnson is also clear to get past Talladega, as he won the week before. And those of you watching on video, I can clearly roll my eyes at the sound of the round of eight for auto racing playoffs. Xfinity cars ran in Kansas on Saturday, and surprise, surprise, a Joe Gibbs Racing car won the Xfinity Series race on a downforce track with Kyle Busch driving. If you bet a dollar on that in Vegas, I think you probably got a nickel back on that wager. Let's head to the short tracks and go north to Thompson, Connecticut, where the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour wrapped up their season with the annual World Series. Justin Bonsignor won the 150-lap feature, and Doug Coby won the series championship with his sixth-place finish. Ryan Preece finished second after flying in from the Kansas Xfinity race on Saturday. This is Coby's third consecutive Tour championship and fourth of his career. Now with four, that puts him in the company of Richie Evans, Jerry Cook, Mike Stefanik, Tony Hirschman. They have all won at least four. Obviously, Evans and Cook with much more, Stefanik as well. But that puts him in some pretty elite company. Congratulations to Doug Coby. He has been a guest on Speedway Report from time to time over the years as well. Hope to see him, probably catch up with him sometime in December when he visits the Charlotte area for the Tour Championship and the banquet, the victory banquet. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series West cars wrapped up their season in Roseville, California. Ryan Partridge won the Toyota Napa Auto Care 150. Todd Gilliland finished eighth, and he clinched the series championship. Our straight line pals were down at Dallas, Texas, in our NHRA friends, actually, and in Top Fuel, Antron Brown was your winner. Matt Hagan won Funny Car. Drew Skillman won Pro Stock, and Eddie Krawick was your winner on two wheels in Pro Stock Motorcycle. Over on the dirt tracks, the Lucas Oil Late Models were in Portsmouth, Ohio. Brandon Shepard drove from 21st starting position to the win in the Dirt Track World Championship and $100,000. Scott Blomquist is the Tour champion for 2016. We'll stick with the dirt. We'll just take the top off. The World of Outlaws Sprints were up in the Northeast. On Friday night, they were in Williams Grove, Pennsylvania, with the running of the National Open. Danny Dietrich won this rain-postponed open and the $25,000 first-placed prize. This was supposed to be run a few weeks ago as a three-night event. Rained out. They consolidated it into one. And there you go. Danny Dietrich cashes the $25,000 check. They packed up, towed over to Port Royal Speedway for Saturday night. Logan Schuchart won over there. Not bad either. Saturday night, $10,000 to win. Outlaws are doing something right. I am alluding to something here shortly with the prize money I'm tossing out on dirt. Stick with dirt, stick with open wheels. USAC Sprints raced in Terre Haute, Indiana on Saturday night. Chris Windham won in a back-and-forth battle with Chad Boseplug. Now, during the 30-lap feature, the lead changed hands between the two of them officially four times as it was tracked at the start-finish line. Unofficially, the two of them swapped back and forth 26 times in the 30-lap A-Main. That, my friends, is the definition of a good race. And another big independent short track race yesterday afternoon in Martinsville, Virginia. The late model stock cars ran the Valley Star Credit Union 300. Mike Looney was your winner there. You heard him just on the last program with Stars Radio, which ran from 7 to 7:30 here on Racers Reunion Radio. Open Trailer Mafia, they nicknamed Mike Looney. We'll talk about him a little bit more shortly, but basically a big underdog coming forth to win that big event for them. $25,000 to win. Very impressive for late model stock cars. Mike Looney, no stacker trailer, no enclosed hauler. Yeah, pickup truck and an old trailer. Got to love that story. I like that a lot. Good for Mike Looney. He's had a busy day here. He's not even on social media. He should get on social media because he would be having a lot of followers and fans jump on his bandwagon today. Okay, you know how I love the short track world, and particularly the pavement modifieds. I grew up on the modifieds and the open wheel cars, so there was a lot of discussion in scuttlebutt on the internet last week where NASCAR's two modified tours are now becoming one. We've reported for years the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour and the NASCAR Whelen Southern Modified Tour, the two tours sanctioned by NASCAR. Do a little history. The tour concept came to be in the mid-1980s, which was not unofficially a northern tour, but they ventured into the south a lot. Then in the mid-2000s, NASCAR pretty much created a southern tour, or more or less took over the former Smart Tour, which began in the late 80s for here in the Southland. And some other tours have popped up, some independent tours for in the South for modified racing. There have been other tours also formed in the North for pavement modified racing. But the two main ones, I guess your marquee titles would be the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour and the NASCAR Whelen Southern Modified Tour. Speculation, not enough denial, not any denial, came out last week that these two tours will now become one. Majority of the races will be in the North. Some will be in the South. We're expecting a handful. At its peak, I believe the Southern Tour had about 16 events. At its peak, the Northern Tour probably had pushing close to 30 races, I believe. Essentially, you're probably going to still have less than 20 races between the two tours being combined. And they're going to look to be one tour in 2017. Now, Asheboro, North Carolina, the Caraway Speedway hosted, they would host four or five races per year. I think this year they're hosting three, but they were always a big staple on the Southern Modified Tour. I don't expect them to be there at all with the sanctioning fee. The purse for the Southern Tour is so much smaller than the purse for the Northern Tour, and the Northern Tour is not what it used to be. Let's get into that one sec. We're going to get into that. The last race at Caraway, end of September, for the Southern Modified Tour, NASCAR Southern Modified Tour, only drew 11 cars. So fans showed up, $20 ticket, you saw 11 cars run the main event for 150 laps. This has been a trend of declining car counts for the Southern Tour. I understand NASCAR had to do something else. Let's look at the Northern Tour. Had about, what do they have, 16 races on their series this year? They used to have four big money events at the New Hampshire Motor Speedway every year. Now they run two. Both are the companion races to the Sprint Cup weekends. The purses have been cut there over the years. So they used to run for much bigger purses, as well as their own independent weekends with the old Busch North Tour. Remember Busch North? I do. NASCAR K&N Pro Series East. Right. Another commentary altogether. I'll try to stay on topic here. A lot of big money races are gone that used to be on the Modified Tour. Pocono, the Race of Champions there, that's now at Oswego, not part of NASCAR anymore. The Thompson 300, the Spring Sizzler, 80 laps, four times at Martinsville. At least the two doubleheaders, sometimes they would run piggyback to the spring and or the fall. Sprint Cup Series race there. Basically, they had pushing 25-30 events at the Northern Tour's height, and a lot of those some big purse events, the big purse races, the independent races at Oswego. So many of these events are gone. As you heard me just a few moments ago go through the Victory Lane lap, we talked about the purses thrown out for the dirt cars. So it got me thinking a little bit on the brain. Let's take a piece of property. We carve a oval racetrack in it. You've got the pavement. You've got the dirt. You've got grandstands, pit areas, concession stands, parking. They kind of, you have each piece of property. What's the difference? Why are the dirt races so healthy when it comes to the purse and the car count? So I did a little research. Couldn't find everything I wanted to, but I found a little bit, a few numbers to toss around. Thompson's World Series this past weekend up in Connecticut, and I'm going to preface this by saying not a shot at Thompson. Not a shot at anybody. I'm just looking at some numbers. The World Series this past weekend up in Connecticut, the 5/8 Mile Oval, had 18 different divisions over 3 days. I pulled up off of Thompson's website some prices to get into that place. A pit pass, which was good for all 3 days, $75. They did not give any options listed on the website for single days or double days or whatever. It was 3 days, $75. Adult grandstands, all 3 days, again, general admission to the grandstands, $55. They did give a senior and veteran and active military discount at $53. Kids 12 and under were free. Good move there on letting the kids in free. Let's jump to a major dirt event. We reported on the Dirt Track World Championship in Portsmouth, Ohio, for the Dirt Late Models. They had 79 entries. I believe 26, 7 started the Whelen Modified Tour race at Thompson. They had 79 entries for the Dirt Late Model race at Portsmouth, Ohio, which 28 took the green. Their admission prices, I looked it up. All-access pit pass, $60, a little cheaper than Thompson. General admission, grandstands, $50. Student, they did have a student price for ages 12 through 17, that only 15, and kids were free, six and under. I guess, they were free. Six and under were free. Here's where the big disparity comes in, because the prices, you know, there's some high, some lower. The late model purse for this thing, or at least some prize money, I don't have a total purse money, I didn't total that all up. The 100-lap feature paid $100,000 to win. I've got some of the rest of it here. Second place was $20,000, third was $10,000, fourth $7,000, and fifth was $5,000. Tenth place was $2,500. Last place, shotgun, 28th spot on the field, still $2,000. They also had a non-qualifiers feature that featured $3,000 to win and a companion modified support class with $4,000 to win. What is the big difference between the dirt and the pavement short tracks? This is a major disparity as I watch my beloved pavement modifieds in the Northeast crumble and fall apart, and the dirt late models, dirt sprint cars, flourish and have a lot of big money races. General consensus along the pavement modified crew is, hey, you're just not going to make a living doing this. My question is, why not? Why can't you? There's people racing dirt sprint cars for a living. There's people racing dirt late models for a living. Dirt modifieds, even, for a living. Granted, the dirt modifieds, something about the Northeast, I guess, they are going through some struggles similar to the pavement modifieds, but not the same. They still got one-day shows. You're in, you're out, and you can win some races and still make some decent money there. But, you know, a little bit off track of the point here, the NASCAR modifieds started NASCAR, for crying out loud. There's not this new division. You look at what's now the Xfinity Series, the late model sportsman cars they began as, the trucks they started in 1995. For goodness sake, the NASCAR modified started in 1949. That's the first division NASCAR had. Here we are in 2016. This division is barely going together. Does NASCAR not have the marketing superstar power that they thought they have? Oh, sure they do. The Sprint Cup cars are racing for millions and millions of dollars, and that's where 90% of the focus is on the TV money there. Xfinity trucks have TV deals, and my poor NASCAR modifieds. You can do it, as we come back, as I pointed out a few moments ago. Portsmouth, Ohio, it's a dirt track. It has the facilities. The pavement tracks, it's a facility. Run it, management. Honest question, and I'm not trying to beat up on anybody here. How do they get it to work on dirt and can't do it on pavement? Serious question. If anybody has an answer for me, I'd love to know. As I told you earlier, all my social media contacts are there. Twitter, Facebook, whatnot. Hit me up. I'd love to know. Seriously, a business model. Why do my beloved pavement modifieds die a slow death and the dirt cars flourish? And I love the dirt cars. I love dirt late models. I love dirt sportsmen. Outstanding stuff. Love that racing. Happy for them that they get these prize money and can rock and roll. My beloved Pavement Modifieds just dying a slow death. And the dissolution of one tour, we're making it into two tours into one. It breaks my heart to see this division just die a little more every single season. Another quick story before we head out of here for the night. I'm going to stick with open wheel racing. A little silly season to report from the IndyCar world. Kevin Magnussen may come from Formula One to the fourth Andretti car for 2017. Renault may not retain Magnussen for next year. Nico Hülkenberg has already been contracted to fill one of the Renault seats. I find that pretty cool there. Magnussen, where will he go? Will he fill that second Renault seat? Will he come to the United States? Andretti Autosport's lineup for next year already has Ryan Hunter-Reay, Alexander Rossi, and Marco Andretti all set. The fourth seat could possibly be open. Carlos Munoz needs funding in order to fill it. Will it be Magnussen, or could it be Takuma Sato? A.J. Foyt swapped from Honda to Chevy Power. Sato out of a ride at A.J. Foyt's. He's got big support from Honda. He brings money. He's also a Tokyo native. And Andretti Autosports, powered by Honda. Who's going to fill the fourth seat at Andretti Racing? I want to know. We will find out. Scuttlebutt around the water cooler late this afternoon on Monday. There could be a rule change coming that will limit the Xfinity Series driver, or excuse me, the Cup drivers competing in the Xfinity Series races in 2017. I respect Kyle Busch as much as anybody, but it's not much of a show anymore. Hasn't been for a lot of years when these Cup guys dominate the Xfinity Series for about the last 10 years. Cup teams, Cup drivers, yeah, it's way past time to put a rule change on that. Everybody in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. Hopefully you're catching our broadcast right there on that camera tonight. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, you just click on the TV button. You can rewatch tonight's show and past programs. We also have columns from Vicki Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Bluffus, and myself. Latest story from Vicky, who had her unique perspective on Road Atlanta's Petit Le Mans race, the IMSA finale. And I posted a hot topic last week titled, Where Have You Gone, Race City, USA? It's about the decline in race teams here in the Mooresville area that once overflowed with them. Lit up the internet traffic pretty nicely, and Steve Zonger sent me a post today. We'll have that up within a day or so. So you got auto racing, TV, you've got radio, and stories to read. They're all on SpeedwayReport.com. Jeff Gilder, thanks for the production work tonight, dude. Good doing some radio and some TV with you this evening.
Always my pleasure, buddy.
You can hear more from Jeff and our Racers Reunion family tomorrow night, Tuesday, 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We call it the Goat Rodeo. And don't forget the free Pennington with Making an Impact. Kicks off Tuesday night, 6:30 Eastern Time on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in. Hopefully you didn't beat me up too much. I'm sort of defenseless here as we get our feet underneath us with the TV shows. If you have a chance to get to your local track before the season ends this fall, please do. They're the backbone of the sport. Your drag strip, your road course, your oval, doesn't matter. Get on out there. And if you tuned in late or you'd like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of our Racers Reunion programs, well, we produce new content every Monday and Tuesday night and replay that content 24/7 for the next week. Go to SpeedwayReport.com, hit the Listen Now button, and you can listen to Race Talk Radio all week long, and we've got all these shows archived as well. And I especially want to thank the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening and watching to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS, I love saying that, are coming up right here at the top of the hour on Racers Reunion Radio. Racing and Rocking with Jaglist.com coming up in a few moments. A reminder to please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next week to have results from Sprint Cup in Talladega, the United States Formula One Grand Prix, Eastern States Weekend in Middletown, New York, and rip into the hot topics. Thank you for joining us on Racers Reunion Radio, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night. Rocket through the